Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Friday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Glad you're with us this afternoon. Bob Getty from the Southern Bancorp Studio. Thanks for tuning in. Opening segment of the show sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, which would be a great place to go this weekend and have a wonderful meal with your family, and also a great place to cater your next upcoming event. Full show today. We're going to have Carly Malden from USM Baseball later, Dima Mixon from the Student Prince, Kelly Sander in the bottom of the hour, but right now I want to go down to New Orleans. My good buddy Patrick McGee from NOLA.com, who's our go-to guy for NFL football and, of course, the New Orleans Saints. And, Patrick, let's start with the Saints. No OC hired yet in the wake of the dismissal of Pete Carmichael, but where do we stand in the Saints getting a new offensive coordinator?
Well, this is fairly TBD. You see a lot of moving pieces as teams hire coaches. They're going to look to hire their own coordinators and stuff like that. So, and there's also guys still coaching right now. So it could drag on past the Super Bowl potentially. The Saints hiring an offensive coordinator, but right now I think you're looking at around six guys who are interviewed or are supposed to interview. You got Zach Robinson, the Rams quarterbacks coach, Brian Greasy, quarterbacks coach for the 49ers, obviously still playing. Clint Kubiak, the 49ers passing game coordinator. Ronald Curry, who's on the staff as Saints quarterbacks coach. Mike Sullivan, Steelers quarterbacks coach, although I don't think he's that serious of a candidate. And today it was, we're reporting that Brian Johnson, the former Philadelphia Eagles offensive coordinator, is going to get an interview, but he's not a guy that's trending up because that Eagles offense really did kind of collapse late in the season.
Mm-hmm. What are the Saints looking for? And when I mean that, when I say that, I mean do you think is the philosophy that they want to have offensively?
Well, I mean, if you look at the candidates they're talking to, they're kind of from that McVay tree, guys that worked out that, you know, worked with Sean McVay in L.A. or worked with some guys that have worked with McVay, say in Cincinnati. It seems to be kind of following that mold. And I think what they want is really an offense that's better balanced. They didn't run the ball well enough. Just didn't have consistency across the board on offense, even though Carr played well at good chunks of the season. So it's, you know, I don't know. They just need somebody who's on the way up, I think, you know, to come in and really take charge and just put a jolt of energy into an offense that's a little bit on the old side, and the defense is even older. So I think some young insight would be good for the team.
What do you think the Saints organization looks back now, the year of Derek Carr? How would you grade that out, Patrick?
Well, I mean, statistically, it's pretty solid. You know, it's about what you would have expected. You know, didn't throw a ton of interceptions, but It you just go through that. You know, I always go back to that Packers game where he took a really hard hit, left the game. They lose that game. We're in good shape to win, and really going back, that game really was what kept them out of the playoffs. But after that, Carr went through a period of inconsistency, missing some throws, and it's pretty obvious. And he took even more, you know, even some harder hits over the course of a few weeks. So through the, you know, through week three to week 10 or so, he was really banged up, and I think that's what we saw. So that's got to be a major focus for them, getting that offensive line right and protecting him better. Because whenever Carr gets protection, he succeeds. And when he's going to be taking hits like that, he's just not going to be what you need there at quarterback.
Yeah, your quarterback can't make many passes from his back, and he took some vicious licks. So you look to see some changes offensively on the line.
Yeah, I think we won't see a major overhaul in terms of personnel on this team. I think there is potential for some trades, whether it's a Marshawn Lattimore. I think he's somebody that's kind of pointing to right now as a potential guy they would trade. But, yeah, I think you're going to see them potentially make some changes up there. But I think, you know, there's also a shot that they commit to Andrew Speed at left tackle, who took over after Trevor Penning struggled early in the season. I think there's a good shot they move Penning into guard. He's turned out to be a bust at left tackle. So they've got to probably make a couple of additions on the offensive line and just get guys in the right position on the line.
And then Penny, the one that came into camp, you know, wanting to fight people and just making a big show of himself.
Yeah, he kind of came in just really angry and got in fights with guys, and it seemed to calm down in year two, but he almost seemed worse whenever he was less angry. So
yeah.
He's just obviously not a left tackle. Even they just tried to make something work that to a lot of people just didn't make much sense.
I guess if you're looking for a fight and you want some guys that'll fight you, going to an NFL team and starting a bunch of fights is probably a good place, right, Patrick?
Yeah, I'm sure he got put in his place at some point.
Pretty quickly would be my guess. All right, so we're down to four, Patrick.
Yeah.
And this is pretty much what you predicted last week was going to happen. Let's start with the first game on Saturday or Sunday. I guess everybody outside of the state of Missouri will be praying that the Baltimore Ravens bring an end to the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift saga.
Thing.
Yeah. On paper, you would think that the Ravens would handle the Chiefs, but the Chiefs have a way of winning games. Your thoughts is we're just a couple of days away now from that. How do you see that one working out?
Well, I mean, just the fact that the Chiefs are at this point. I mean, they had some, much like the Philadelphia Eagles, they had kind of a late lull in the season, but they were able to overcome that. Well, the Eagles kind of fell apart. It really just speaks to the quality of Patrick Mahomes and that roster as a whole. That defense is really good. So I'm still waiting for the Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, to really break through in that big game and just put him over the hump. It hasn't happened yet. But I think this is the year. You know, I see a really good game. I think this is probably the best two teams you could put on the field in the AFC at this point in the season. But I think this is the year the Ravens get it done. I mean, I'm a big fan of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and all that, but I think Lamar Jackson finally gets that done. I think Todd Monken has done a great job with that offense. And really, Monken should be up there for a lot of these head coaching jobs. I don't know if it's going to happen, partially because just the Ravens are still going and he's focused on that. I think the Ravens finally get it done.
If that happens, Todd Monken would have a 3-year span with two national championship rings and a Super Bowl ring. I don't think that's ever been done before.
No, and if I'm a Saints fan, I'm hoping that Monken doesn't get hired as a head coach this season, because I would think he would be a very strong candidate a year from now for a head coaching job. He just has the pedigree to do it. So, yeah, Monken has done a fantastic job. And just really an incredible run as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, what a match that would be. Todd Monken in New Orleans. Man, I can see how that would generate excitement. All right, so you like the Ravens, and I think I do too. You know, they're big and tough and nasty, and it should really be a showdown. And then I think the game that kind of has everybody holding their heart, so to speak, is going to be the second game. When the Detroit Lions try to knock off San Francisco, and it's hard to get these words out across your lips, the Detroit Lions in the Super Bowl. Do they have a chance, Patrick? What do you think?
Sure, yeah. I think momentum has kind of been building for this team, and I think they've played pretty well of late. So I think things are kind of trending in the right direction. So I think the Lions do have a shot, but on the road against a really, really, really good 49ers team, that's a tough task. I think maybe they're a year away, a year or two away maybe from that Super Bowl. But the Lions do have a shot, but I mean, I have to go with the 49ers.
Yeah.
I like Brock Purdy a lot, even though he hasn't been perfect late in the season. He did get him over the hump last week. But I think the 49ers and everything they have to offer, I think they are the most talented team in the NFL. So my pick is the 49ers.
And is there a player more fun to watch than Christian McCaffrey? My gosh, what a great football player.
Yeah, and he's somebody that kind of worried about, you know, durability-wise early in his career. But it seems like he's kind of gotten past that a little bit. He's still just every bit as good an athlete as he was entering the league. He and Alvin Kamara, I think, are similar guys. But McCaffrey is really exceptional. I mean, whenever you have that guy in the backfield and the quality receiver, and that defense is really, really tough. So at this point, I'm believing in Purdy. I think they get into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm looking at 49ers Ravens myself. But you know, win or lose, what a dream season for the Detroit Lions, man. Nothing but upside, even if they were to lose Sunday night.
Yeah, I think a lot of people here in New Orleans see the emotion there in Detroit, and they kind of relate to it, to what they had back in 09 and 06 and the run to the NFC title game, Super Bowl in 09. So, and there's a lot of former Saints staffers on that, including Campbell, the head coach, and guys on that roster, you know, Gardner Johnson, former Saints. So there's a little bit of Saints flavor to the Lions this season, really the last two or three seasons. So Saints fans will be watching closely to see if they can get over the hump and really be kind of envious that, yeah, that Campbell isn't the guy kind of calling the shots in New Orleans.
All right, Patrick, we'll see you next week if you and I are right. We appreciate your time. Look forward to having you back on the show next week.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Patrick McGee, everybody, NOLA.com, our go-to guy for NFL football. Dima Mixon works for the Student Prince, does a great job as a student journalist covering Southern Miss sports. He was at Media Day yesterday for baseball. We're going to get the vibe that he picked up on yesterday when we come back.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Say hello to our friends at Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net. Miss Kathleen is the best, and she has the best selection of Southern Miss apparel anywhere. They're located on Hardy Street. They're open 7 days a week, believe it or not. You can also shop them online at campusbookmart.net. Southern Miss women's basketball drops a 77-70 game to the Troy Trojans last night down in Troy, Alabama. Historical night in a couple of respects. Joy Lee McNellis coached her 600th game as a Lady Eagle, and Malia Grayson from Hattiesburg entered the 1,000-point club. She and Dominique Davis now both active on the roster. First time ever that you've had 2,000-point scorers on the same roster. Lady Eagles, again, lose 77-70, and they're on the road. They'll play at South Alabama tomorrow. They're now 9-9 in the play. All right, Dima Mixon works for the Student Prince. We've had him on the show quite a number of times. Glad to have him back today. And he was at the Baseball Media Day yesterday, which we explained to you the reason that we could not go. But, hey, Dima was there, and he's gracious enough to come on the show today and talk a little about it. So, Dima, let me ask you this first of all. If there was one vibe you picked up on yesterday from Coach Oz and the players, what would that be?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, it was obviously pretty weird, right? I mean, it was kind of like almost eerie that we weren't talking to Scott Barry. And I know that it's been about 7 months since, you know, it's been Oz Trainer's program. But, you know, this is my third or fourth baseball media day. And it was just kind of weird it wasn't with Scott Barry. But I would say the vibe is very much press forward. And this is going to be Oz Trainer's program moving forward. And just one of the quotes that he said that I just loved, I think I asked Coach Oz something along the lines of, you know, you've had this program now for 7 months. How have you coached it differently than Barry would have? And he said, there's only one Scott Barry, but I like to think there's also only one of me as well. And he said, that's not arrogance. That's not an ego. That's just, you know, confidence in his skills. And I think a lot of the players have kind of come around that a little bit. And I was talking to Slade Wilkes, who's one of the captains, and he was talking just about how there hasn't been that much change other than, you know, he said that Australia is a little more fiery than Barry is, and he, you know, Barry's more of a laid-back coach. But I would say confident and just here we go, and they're ready to get out there and play in 3 weeks.
Did he talk in any specifics as to what he thinks will be the strength of the team?
It really sounds like pitching is really going to be a strength of the team. I mean, obviously, this is a bullpen that is bringing a lot of experience back, and a lot of experience that they didn't have last season. A part of a lot of that early season woes last season was the pitching staff. The hitting was really staying with Tune in a lot of those games, keeping them in the games, and then at the end of the season it kind of flipped. But obviously Nico Mazza, Billy Oldham, a lot of the key pieces to the team last season back in the bullpen. Then you have a ton of players behind them who are just as good. I mean, you have a fully healthy Tommy John surgery. I'm going blank on his name, but you have a ton of players who will come behind the two or three main guys that you have. They mentioned JB Middleton, and it mentioned Chase Adams, all these players that are behind him. So I think the depth in the pitching staff is something that Ostrander is really excited about.
Who would you think are going to be the weekend starters? And I know he didn't say that yesterday, but just your observation, your thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious you got two for sure with Oldham and Mazza. And as far as the third, I think it could be Cross Sibley. He sounded like he was going to give him a chance.
Really?
And I really don't know about that third one. That's something that I'm fixing to sit down. I'm writing a bunch of stories for our preview magazine, so I'm fixing to sit down and think through that. But Chandler Best is another one. That's the one I was talking about, who had the Tommy John surgery. They sound like Ostrander said he thinks it's his turn to come up and play. So I think he even has a chance at being a big piece on the pitching staff. As far as the third starter, I really don't know. I mean, it hurts them that they lost Matthew Adams at least for the start of the season.
Yeah, and Justin Storm would be nice to have to close things down.
Yeah, it would be.
But so let me ask you this: two regional championships in a row, two
yes.
super regional hosts in a row, won the Sun Belt tournament last year. Program finishes in the top 10 of every major poll. Did they address the fact that they're not in any of the polls right now? Because when we had players out here a couple of weeks ago, their response to me was, I could care less about the polls. Was there any comment made about that?
Yeah, there wasn't really any talk about the polls. And, you know, I'm kind of one of those guys who just doesn't like preseason polls. I think they're stupid. But we did talk about, there was a question asked about to Ostrander about, you know, is this team a team that can break through to the College World Series? And he said that he doesn't think about the end. He thinks about the next day and so forth with our guys. And he even said they need to worry about being the 2024 team, not the 2023, not the 2022, not even the 2021, who had a pretty good run there at the end of the Oxford Regional. They're the 2024 team. This is a team with a bunch of new faces. You have some of the elements from the past two seasons on the team, but really this is a new face team to a lot of, I mean, I would say more than half of the defensive starters, you know, Southern Miss fans are going to be growing accustomed to, because you're so used to Danny Lynch and Dustin Ickerson on the left side. You're so used to Christopher Sargent at first base. You're so mm-hmm. used to either Blake Johnson or Rodrigo Montenegro, one of the Montenegro brothers. You know, all of these pieces now on the defensive side and in the lineup are all new. So I think that they're more focused on the next 3 weeks. They're going to be scrimmaging. There's scrimmages. There's supposed to be one today, but they canceled it. But there's scrimmages tomorrow, Sunday, then for the next 3 weeks, kind of getting some of the position battles all settled out.
I mean, virtually the entire infield will be new faces.
Yes. Yep.
First, second, short, and third base will all be new. So here's sort of what I think, Demon. I'd be interested to get your thoughts about this. I think early on, and I hope I'm wrong, but I think early on the team might struggle a little bit until some chemistry can be built, until these new faces get a little more accustomed to one another. I'm sure the fans will get restless pretty quick, but I would not be surprised if the first couple of 3 weeks maybe were, you know, so-so and what we're used to, and then the team gels and really takes off. Does that seem out of bounds to you?
No, definitely not. I mean, I think that's probably a good way of looking at it. And I think it is helpful this season that they do have, you know, respect to their opponents, obviously. But I think the first few weekends they got some teams that definitely you could start working some things out and still potentially win the baseball games, you know. And so, you know, you're not having a Dallas Baptist or something like that, like the home series like they had last year, or Liberty to start the season, you know, that are pretty tough series regardless of who the opponent is. So I think you're right. I think you know, it's baseball, you know, you're always going to have, you know, it seems like every single year they have some of those 2 weeks or 3 weeks where you know, it's like you said, the fans are kind of restless and they're like, you know, we're okay, we're just figuring things out, and then boom, 15 game win streak, boom, 16 game win streak, whatever it is, you know. And then they're talking about, oh well, you know, we should be hosting super regionals. So So I think you're spot on with that, and I would expect that to be the case this year, because it is going to take a lot when you're right, where you're talking about the entire infield being changed and then the catcher. There's a lot of positions that might not even be, you know, if you remember from last season, I mean, Nick Monastir wasn't really even a thing until the middle of March or April. Correct. You know, nobody really even knew he was going to be that big of a piece on the team.
We know about him now, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we do. He's out there in center field, and he is loving it.
What about media turnout? You would think with all the success of the last few years, and I know last year at Media Day, I was a little surprised at how much media was there. I'm positively surprised. But what was that like yesterday?
I was surprised, too. There was a ton of media there. I think at least 6 or 7 or 8 outlets, which generally isn't the case. You know, there's about, I've said this before on the show, I think the media that Southern Miss fans get for the school is really incredible, and something that they shouldn't take for granted, because there are several media outlets here that do an exceptional job of covering the team. And there was even more of that yesterday. There was probably, I would say, 6 or 7 outlets, maybe even 8, all just, you know, somebody was even asking just about the Indiana State series, and he said he was from Dara Hope in Indiana, and I was like, "What? I didn't even know he was here." You know,
so
it was crazy.
Oz didn't want to talk about the Indiana State series, I'm guessing. He only wanted to talk about the opening day game. Is that right?
Yeah, he said something along the lines of he's glad that that's here, but he's worried about the scrimmage tomorrow.
That sounds like him. Hey, Demi, I really appreciate it, man. We always enjoy having you on the Eagle Hour. You do a great, great job there on the campus, and I thank you for your time today, my man.
Thanks for having me on anytime.
All right, we like it. We'll bring you back. Demi Mixon, everybody, from the Student Prince, and a great young student journalist, and really proud to see that. All right, Carly Malden, she's the secret behind the door. That's who's running things over at P. Taylor Park. We're going to have her on next.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, we're glad you are. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studio at Oak Grove this afternoon. Want to remind you about Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. And coming soon, the all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Also, hello to our good friends at Beaubay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, and a great place to go this weekend for a really, really good dessert and a warm coffee. It'll all be good. 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the show, and we are happy to have as our guest Carly Malden, Carly Malden Macavicta, who got married just not long ago. Did I get that right, Carly?
You got it right. That was perfect.
All right. Carly Malden Macavicta. Macavicta. Well, congratulations to you. How is married life?
Thank you. It's been awesome. Okay. I mean, not much has changed, so that's good, but we're having fun.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. All right. So Carly, of course, is the director of baseball operations for Golden Eagle Baseball. Was just visiting with Dima Mixon from the Student Prince. He said yesterday's media day was a big, big success, and lots of media showing up now to cover this nationally prominent baseball program, Carly.
Yeah, it was. It was an awesome day. All things went smoothly and got good content. And I believe Coach Oz had an awesome press conference, and so we're excited.
Was he a little nervous, Carly? I mean, this was his first official press conference in some ways as the new head coach. How do you think Coach Oz is feeling right now?
I don't think there's any nerves. He likes having that bullseye on his chest, and he's been in front of several people now. So
yeah, yeah.
He's got it.
I hear there is a lot of confidence on the baseball team. These guys, and for good reason, but these guys very confident, even though there are a lot of new faces.
Yeah, they should be. You're always coming into a good program here at Southern Miss, and these guys were recruited for a certain reason, and so they have the ability to continue that success.
No question. All right, let's talk a little bit about the upcoming baseball banquet. Last I heard, pretty close to sold out. What details can you share for people who may not know?
Yeah, so our first pitch banquet, we're almost 700 guests total.
Wow.
So
wow.
Big numbers there, and, you know, we're excited that to bring it back. It's something that's been done before COVID came around. So I think since 2020, this will be the first time we're having it.
And two pretty good Major League Baseball players, former Golden Eagles, are going to be there, right?
Oh, yeah. Nick Sandlin and Matt Waldner will be in attendance. And during the cocktail hour, which is from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, they're going to be signing autographs and taking photos with our guests.
Yeah, they never go far away. I've always noticed that about Southern Miss baseball players. They always come back home, Carly.
Yes, and we're grateful for that. We always want them around.
No question about that. I wanted to also talk to you today about the Dugout Club. And if you will, for again, listeners that may not be totally familiar, you have the Eagle Club, but you have the Dugout Club as well. And how do those two differ, Carly?
So the Dugout Club directly benefits our baseball program. It's been around for over 20 years, and the best way I describe it to people is the money that they donate, it strictly goes back into our program. And so it allows us to compete, you know, with those Power Five schools.
Yeah. How important is Dugout Club membership? We hear all the time that Eagle Club membership is so vital to the athletic department. I'm sure that it is. But how important, in your assessment, is the Dugout Club's health to Southern Miss baseball's program?
Very. I don't think Southern Miss baseball would be the elite status that it is today without it.
Yes, and there are a lot of different levels that people could join. So it does is. You can be a small donator and still be important. Can you kind of go through the levels for us, please?
Oh yeah, correct. Every donation impacts our team, so we're grateful for it all. But just the membership card that we have, if you donate at the single level, you get a hat or a visor. The double level is a hat and a visor. Triple level is you get all of the above plus a Southern Miss baseball polo. And then home run level is you get all of that, so the polo, hat, and visor plus a Southern Miss baseball pullover. And then our Grand Slam membership, you get pullover, polo, hat, and visor, and then you get on-field pregame access.
All right. So all levels are equally as important. Is that not fair to say?
Yes, they all are. And they all help these guys out.
And how can listeners support the club by joining the Dugout Club?
They can. There's a form online on our website that they can go to, and they can mail in their donation, or they can stop by the office. If I'm not in my office, I'm usually on the baseball field, and I'd be happy to get them signed up.
Yeah, okay, well, that's great. Now, you know, when we first talked to you after you got the job, we pointed out that you're one of very few young women in the country with such a job, which we're thrilled to have you here, and kudos to Coach Oz for finding you. But what has life been like for you so far as the director of baseball operations?
You know, it's been great. I've really enjoyed this position. It allows me to have my hands on a lot of different things that is happening with our program. But, you know, it being a female, yes, like I realize that I am one of the few and one of the only females walking around the offices, but, you know, they treat me with the utmost respect, and you don't even think about it day in, day out. It's just like coming to work, and we all are on the same mission, and it's been great.
Well, I've always found through my business career that that women are the best organized, most diligent, most dependable, and I've kind of gotten word.
Smart man.
Yeah, I've kind of gotten word that that Coach Oz sees that in you, that you run a pretty tight ship there, Carly.
Well, I try. I like to make sure that things are going as they should, and definitely not a procrastinator because that would stress me out too much. So, yeah, he's right. I try to stay on top of things and just make sure that every day everyone knows where they need to be, what they're doing, and what they need to accomplish.
And you're in charge now of all the you do all the travel arrangements, correct? The food, the travel, the lodging, everything when they're on the road. They're really, really important job.
That is correct. Yep, that can be a bit stressful, but we're doing it.
Yeah, well, have you, just out of curiosity, at this point of the year, is it still, have you still got travel weekends that have to be worked out, or do you pretty much have everything set in that regard for the season?
Yeah, everything is booked and taken care of at this point. So mainly I'm just following up, making sure that they still have us down for the correct dates, and that, you know, sending in itineraries and just making sure me and whoever is on the other line, we're on the same page.
So you just verified what I said, that women are more organized, smarter, and more detail-oriented than guys.
If you say so, I'm in agreement.
You're not going to disagree, I've noticed, Carly.
No, never.
All right, we're not far off. Big, exciting season. Lots of really good baseball going to be played here, with Indiana State coming into town and Coastal Carolina. That's two super regional teams from last year. And I think we have Alabama playing here, Ole Miss playing here. A lot of good Sun Belt Conference teams. Going to be a tremendous season, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. We have a lot of good teams coming into Hattiesburg, and it's going to be great competition on both sides of the ball.
All right, last question. Your observation of the baseball team. I mean, you're a standout athlete yourself. So when you watch these guys work out, what's your thoughts about the 2024 Golden Eagle baseball team?
We have some really exciting faces, new faces, old faces on the team. It's been awesome to see them work and see them come together over the fall. And now we're heading into the real season, so I'm excited. We've got a lot of great athletes, and I'm ready to see them compete against them.
All right,
some other teams.
Final question. Who's going to step up and take the personality and batting stance left by the great Danny Lynch?
There is only one Danny Lynch. So that's a tough question. We'll have to wait and see.
We can't replace Danny Lynch, can we?
No, but he's doing awesome stuff as a GA here. So he's still around.
Carly, I appreciate your time very much. I'm very, very happy to have you on the baseball team with the job you have. And know you'll do a great job. And we look forward to talking to you again really soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right. My pleasure. Carly Malden. Carly Malden Macavicta. Let me get that correct. I know how to pronounce Kelly Sanders' last name. I think he's on his last day of work release. We're going to talk to him next.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, we know that DBAT sponsors this segment of the Eagle Hour. It is a great place on a rainy weekend like this to take your children for a little softball, baseball training. They got state-of-the-art cages and all sorts of activity. Luke Reynolds is the manager there. He's going to be on the Eagle Hour here very soon. And we appreciate all that DBAT does to support the Eagle Hour and, of course, Southern Miss. Town & Country Cleaners, Hattiesburg's most trusted dry cleaners. We're happy to say hello to them. Family owned and operated since 1983. You can visit them at their convenient location across from USM on Hardy Street, or you can call them at 601-264-4920. And don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. It's on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right, we're going to do the Eagle Hour version of the famous play Beauty and the Beast. We're going from Carly Malden Makovicka to Kelly Sanner. I'm going to let the listeners guess who the Beast is. Welcome, sir.
I told you not to go to the West Wing. Isn't that from Beauty and the Beast?
I think that's right. I'm not sure, Kelly. I'm really not as artistically inclined as you are.
Yeah, I tried to do my best Beast impression there, though.
Right. Well, do your best Patrick Holmes impression, because I hear there's some great quotes about Patrick Holmes from his dad.
Yeah, you pretty much covered everything today, Bob, going on, you know, in the Eagle world with the Eagles going to Marshall tomorrow for that big men's game. But yeah, some interesting quotes. You know, lots of times athletes and people in athletics don't get the credit that they deserve for either being smart or having senses of humor. A couple of really interesting quotes in the last couple of days that we just couldn't help but bring your way. First of all, courtesy of women's basketball, the South Carolina women's basketball coach Dawn Staley, whose women's team played at LSU and several times were met with thunderous, let's just say, voices of disapproval from the LSU fan base. And when Dawn Staley was asked about it, she said that she didn't look upon it as negative at all. She said they were calling her their boo. No. She said to her, that's a term of endearment, being called a boo. I think she misunderstood. But a couple of other, two other quotes. One, well, actually, they're both from the father of Patrick Mahomes, whose son, of course, will be playing in the AFC Championship game at Baltimore on Sunday. When a reporter asked Mr. Mahomes, would you be sitting with Taylor Swift and the Kelces this weekend? He simply said, quote, God, I hope not.
I like that quote.
which pretty much sums up, I think the man has had enough drama in his life. But then when another reporter asked him about the endorsement that Taylor Swift just gave to President Joe Biden in his bid for re-election, Mr. Mahomes said, I'm not surprised. Most of her songs have been about picking the wrong man.
That's a great quote right there. That's a great quote right there.
So,
she's made $1 billion on broke up relationships. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that one caught me a little off guard too. I thought that was pretty funny. So, I don't know if Mr. Mahomes is going to go out on tour as a stand-up comic or what, but
You think they're going to win, don't you? You think the Chiefs are going to beat Baltimore?
Yes, I do. And again, I don't know that they would under normal circumstances. And I hope I'm wrong. You know, but more and more of you have kind of pulled me aside and said, you know, with some of the recent happenings in the NFL, I'm beginning to wonder if you're right, that maybe there's not some tomfoolery or some shenanigans going on in the NFL about making sure they get who they want.
So you're going with the Chiefs and the 49ers.
I am.
Yeah.
That's who I think will be in the...
Well, that'd be a good matchup. I mean, there's...
In the Super Bowl. Well, and it would give me a team to cheer for, Brock Purdy being from...
Right.
From Iowa State.
Kelly, just a minute left in the show. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to get to this. The Lady Eagles lost last night, but Joy Lee McNeil has coached her 600th game at Southern Miss. She's won 318 games out of 600 in her career. Just real briefly, your thoughts about the legacy she'll leave and the impact that the coach has had on Southern Miss athletics.
Well, I was surprised, honestly, when she left Memphis, when she did, to come back home, because that was a big money job in Memphis, and a job that really put her in the spotlight. But the fact that she left Memphis, took a pay cut to come to Southern Miss so that she could coach a school that she loves, you know, where her parents were. Everybody's learning, if they didn't know already, about how deeply entrenched the McNellises are about family.
Right.
You know, and you saw that with Connor yesterday. I mean, the sacrifices that he has made in his personal life, you know, to help when the family's back is against the wall. So that's what I think people will remember most. And, you know, Troy's won now, what, 6 women's games in a row.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, there's no question.
Yeah, they ran into a buzzsaw last night.
Yeah, no question. So the ladies are at South Alabama tomorrow. The men are at Marshall, right, Kelly?
Right. That's a big game, big road game. You know, Eagles tied for second place in the league and only a half game behind App State. This is the team they won't get to play.
That's right. All right, good stuff, Kelly. I'll talk to you Monday. Until then, we hope everybody has a happy and safe weekend. We thank you for listening to our program. Till next time, Southern Miss.
To the top. See you in the studio Monday.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.